Father in heaven, thank you so much for the Sabbath day. Thank you for these blessed, holy hours that we can come and rest and be apart from all our usual and normal activities. Thank you, Lord, that we can come and study together this morning. And we just ask for your presence to please be with us now. Guide us with your Holy Spirit, O Lord. Help us to hear the voice of your Spirit speaking through the words that we are going to read in your Scripture. And guide my words as well, that I might be a blessing and that I might be careful to give you all the honor and the praise and glory this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Be careful what you ask for. The emphasis of the sermon and the title is taken from one text found in Psalms 145 and verse 16. The Bible says this, "Thou openest thine hand and satisfiest the desire of what? Of every living thing." You know, God, He satisfies the desire of every living thing. And that's not in relation just to those that are righteous. You see, God answers our requests. God answers what we ask for better or for worse. So we have to be careful what we ask for. Now, some people think that God is the one that he's in total control. I mean, some of us, we struggle with texts like Daniel chapter 2 and verse 21, where the Bible says, "He changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding." Yes, friends, God is in control. The Bible says He sets up kings and He removes kings. But yet at the same time, all men and all women and all children, they have the choice to make for themselves. You will find that God, He does not overrule everything and control the hearts of men and women and force us to do certain things, either to be lost or to be saved. Remember, Psalms 145 verse 16 says, "He satisfies the desire of every living thing." And that does not always mean a good outcome. The question that we should ask ourselves, that we should preface this whole study with this, is what is your desire? Now, before looking at what we personally ask for and what we see throughout Scripture, let's just quickly relook at Pharaoh. Because many people say what? God would harden the heart of Pharaoh, that He would force him to do something, to decide something, to not let the children of Israel go. And so that's why God had to put the 10 plagues and pour it out, because his heart was so hard that he would not do it. But it's because God hardened it. Now, do we see that in Scripture? Yes, it seems to allude to that in Exodus chapter 4 and verse 21. The Bible says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, when thou goest to return into Egypt, see that thou do all those wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in thine hand, but I will harden his heart, and he shall not let the people go." You see, friends, it seems like God was the one that hardened the heart of Pharaoh. But when you do a deeper dive into the Bible text surrounding it, a few chapters after as well, in their actual encounter, you will see that more than half the time, Pharaoh, he hardened his own heart. He turned away from Moses and Aaron. It had nothing to do with God. The only reason why God said he would harden the heart of Pharaoh was because if God had not poured out the plagues on Egypt in the time of that Pharaoh, if God had not sent Moses, then his heart would have taken a longer time to get hard. You see, God was the catalyst. He was the one that would speed up the process of Pharaoh and his heart to either getting more hard or less hard. Do you see that? And so God took it upon himself and he said, "I will harden the heart of Pharaoh." Why? Because the plagues would be poured out and those plagues came from me. So I take, in a sense, a responsibility for hastening the process of Pharaoh's heart getting harder. Do you see that? And so did he choose? He absolutely did choose. And even after he chose and after the Israelites left, he's the one that chose to still chase after them. And we need to be careful what we choose in case we are found fighting against God Himself. You see, God tells us today in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 15, while it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. He doesn't want us to harden our hearts. He doesn't intentionally harden our hearts. He makes it very clear that it's our own choice. Now look, God does seem to overrule events to the extent that he controls us. It seems like that, doesn't it? But absolutely not. He overrules events in such things as what? When the wicked king Nebuchadnezzar threw the three Hebrew boys into the fiery furnace, God was there and protected them. He overruled the event, but he did not control anyone's decision. Do you see that? So it's not his character to control us. This is not what a God of love would do. He works with our choices, even sometimes when it's for the worse. So I want to remind you again, our key text, Psalms 145, verse 16. It would do us well to maybe even memorize this Bible text. Thou openest thine hand and satisfiest the desire of everything, every living thing. God, he answers. So let's have a look at the children of Israel. After they left Egypt, they made their march towards the promised land. And God provided food for them, very special food, in fact, food that no one else on earth since that time has eaten. Let's go to Psalm 78, 24 and 25. And had rained down manna upon them to eat, and had given them of the corn of heaven. Man did eat what? Angel's food. He sent them meat to the full. Can you believe that? The Bible says that man, they ate the corn of heaven. They ate angels' food. Now, was it literally corn? We really don't know. But there were miracles every week from God. They received so many blessings from God to the extent that this promise was given to them. In Exodus 23, 25, God says, "And you shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee." Furthermore, in Psalms 105 and verse 37, he says, "He brought them forth also with silver and gold, and what? There was not one feeble person among their tribes." This, my friends, was how nutritious that manna was. The food that God gave them to eat directly from heaven had all the nutrients, had all the vitamins, had all the things that they needed to take care of their bodies, because they were in the middle of a desert. How were you going to plant crops and grow them and eat from them? You couldn't, right? And so that food that God gave them, it was nutritious, it was full, it was satisfying. But what would happen? What would happen when men ate angels' food? Let's continue reading in Numbers chapter 11, verses 4 through 6 and verse 10. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again and said, "Who shall give us flesh to eat?" You see, they wanted flesh meat. "We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes." Then Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent, and the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. Moses also was displeased. Friends, do you see what happened there? They got tired of eating that food that God had been giving to them, that God had been raining down from heaven every single day. They started to complain. They weren't content. And you know, friends, it's not like this food was just the same thing every day, like you're eating oatmeal every day and every meal. It's not that. You see, this food, it could be ground up and boiled and baked. It's like wheat or rice. It could be transformed into other things, you see. And this food was nutritious. So it's not like it was just the same thing, like a slice of bread every day, three meals a day. No, friends. there could be other things that were added to it. Of course, you know, when they said there was cucumbers and leeks and onion and melon, yes, they didn't have all those fancy things, but there were other things that could be added to it. But they just wanted flesh to eat. They wanted fish to eat. They chose. And guess what? God gave what they wanted. God gave them what they wanted. Psalms 78, 26 to 29, the Bible says this. He caused an east wind to blow in the heaven, and by his power he brought in the south wind. He rained flesh also upon them as dust, and feathered fowls like as the sand of the sea. Sure, they didn't get fish, but God still gave them meat. And he let it fall in the midst of their camp, round about their habitations. So they did eat and were well filled. And look at this. He gave them their own desire. Do you see that, friends? He gave them their own desire. He gave them what they asked for, even though it was not the best for them. Be careful what you ask for, and you're saying, oh, well, you know, I like meat, so why should I be careful about that? But let's keep reading. In Psalms 106, 14 to 15, they lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. And he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. God gave them what they wanted. He gave them, the Bible says, their request. But he sent what? Leanness. Do you know what that word leanness means? It means wasting. It means disease. God knew that the meat was not good for them. He knew that that was what brought disease upon them. And especially when they were going through such harsh environments like the desert, they needed the best of health. Especially since they were marching towards Canaan, they needed to be the best in health if they were to fight against the enemies of God. You see that? And so he knew that meat was not good for them. In Exodus 15, verse 26, the Bible says this. He said, if you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, he says what? I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Do you see, friends? The manna was a direct miracle from God, but their health came as a result of obeying all the health laws. And because they asked for meat, because they asked for the fish, and God sent them the quails, guess what? He sent leanness. He sent disease in there, not because he was the author of it, but he knew that meat was not the best for them. He gave them the diet of the Egyptians. And as a result, some of them caught disease. Yes, friends, God gives us what we want, even when it's bad for us. So we got to be careful what we ask for. Be careful what you desire and what you chase after, because God might verily give it to you. And it's like, well, if God doesn't give it to me, then he's controlling me, right? Not in a sense. You're going to see. Let's go to another example. The Israelites, they finally arrive at the border of Canaan. They're ready to go in. This is not after 40 years of wandering. This is after their route taken from Egypt straight to Canaan. Along the way, they stopped to get the Ten Commandments. God rained manna from them, and God built them the sanctuary, or he asked Moses to build the sanctuary. But now they get to the border of Canaan, and what do? They send 12 spies to spy out the land, right? And when they come back, 10 of them give an evil report. They exaggerate and lie about what the land is really like. Let's pick it up in Numbers 13, 31 to 33. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it, it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. You know, in spite of such an evil report, none of the congregation reasoned, saying, hey, we sent 12 spies and you all came back. You obviously were safe. God will protect us, right? I mean, that could have been the logical conclusion. But they didn't reason it that way. They didn't think that way. When they heard that report, look at how they reacted in the next chapter, Numbers 14, verse 1 and 2. This is right after they said that. All the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, look at what they said, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. Do you see that? Do you see what they asked for? Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God that we had died in the wilderness? Friends, we have to be so careful what we ask for, because in their shock and the grief from that report that was brought back, they uttered something that as they wished for it, God would ultimately give it to them. They wished to die back in Egypt. They wished to die in the wilderness, and God would grant them that to them. In verse 22 and 23, God says, because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness and have tempted me now, look at this, they have tempted me how many times? These 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. Friends, look, I want you to notice something very important here in these two verses. God said they tempted him how many times? 10 times. The first time, maybe they wished, would God that we had died. And you know what? They did do it a few times. This was not the first time they were saying this. They did do it a few times. God said, you tempted me 10 times. And that's why now I'm granting you this request. Look, God, he tries very hard. He tries very hard to give us what's best for us, even sometimes when it's not according to his, we don't ask right, and it's not according to his will that we ask these things. He still tries to sway events, but you know what? When our hearts are set on something and we keep saying it to God, we keep praying it to God, eventually he does give us what we want, even though it's not good for us. Do you see that, friends? They tempted God 10 times. It's not like this was the first time they said, oh God, I wish we died in the wilderness. And God says, okay, you die. It's not like God had no patience with them. They had been saying this for 10 times already. Even though they see God's evidence so clearly in this pillar of cloud and pillar of fire at day and at night, and how God had fought for them, and how they saw the mountain that was on fire when Moses went up. How God had opened the Red Sea for them and rained manna down for them every day. They saw so many things, and yet they wish, God, just let me die. We got to be so careful what we ask for, because our key text says, thou openest thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. Let's go to another story. Another illustration, 1 Samuel chapter 8, 5-7. And said unto him, behold, thou art old, thy sons, this is Israel coming to Samuel, and your sons walk not in thy ways, now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us. You know, Samuel was not happy. And so Samuel prayed to God. And what did the Lord say unto Samuel? Hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee. For they have not rejected thee, they've rejected me. And that I should not reign over them. You see, the Israelites, they wanted to be like all the other nations around them. They were tired of an invisible God that they could not see. They wanted a man to sit on their throne, someone that was a symbol of hope and courage, I guess, to lead them into battle, just like all the other nations around them. And so they asked for a king. And so what did God say to Samuel? He said, listen to them. Give them a king. And we continue in verse 18. You shall cry out in that day because of your king, which ye have chosen. And the Lord will not hear you in that day. You know, Samuel, he warned them that one day they would cry out because of this king that they had chosen, a king of their own choosing, a king that God gave them as their request. And God said, I will honor their choice. But when you cry out, I'm not going to hear you because you laid the bed that you slept on. You decided what you wanted and I gave it to you. And this is the consequence. He would let them reap the consequences of their own choices, even though it was not the best. And so we read in verse 19 to 22 of 1 Samuel chapter 8, nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel. And they said, nay, but we will have a king over us, that we may be like all the nations, that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. And Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he rehearsed them in the ears of the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, what? Hearken unto their voice. Make them a king. And Samuel said unto the men of Israel, go ye every man to his city. So even though Samuel warned them and he told them what would be the result of getting such a king, they still wanted their own way. And the Lord what? He told Samuel, listen to them, hearken to them, give them what they want. Friends, God listens and God answers, and he answers whether it's sometimes for better or for worse. Remember, thou openest thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. Friends, even the prodigal son, when he came to his father for his inheritance, you know, how did the father react? In Luke 15, 12, the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of the goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. The father there represents God, and God granted his request. He gave of half the inheritance. God listens. Even though he knew that his son was going to waste it away, even though he knew what he was doing and what the son would ultimately do, he still gave it to him because that's what the son wanted. And even when the people, they had Jesus and Barabbas standing before them, and Pilate, he told them, Jesus is innocent. But what would happen? John 18, 39 to 40. But ye have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore now, therefore that I release unto you the King of the Jews? Then they cried all again, saying, not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. They would cry out, we don't want Jesus. He's not our king. We don't want him. We want Barabbas. They cried out for a thief and a murderer. And look. Look at what they would say in Matthew 27, verse 25. Then answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and on our children. They wish for the murder and the blood of Jesus to be on their shoulders and on their future generations. And guess what? As you look at the Jewish nation today, we can see clearly the desolation that has come upon them because of what they wished, what they asked for in their choice of choosing Barabbas over Jesus, the Son of God. Oh, friends, we have to be so careful. We have to be so careful what we ask for. I want to share with you a quote from the Pen of Inspiration, Testimonies for the Church, Volume 1, 77, Paragraph 1. I got that wrong. Pardon me. It's not Volume 1. It's volume 5, 5T, friends, I'm sorry, 5T77.1. The patience of God has an object, but you are defeating it. He is allowing a state of things to come that you would fain see counteracted by and by, but it'll be too late. You see, he was saying, she was writing to us, what? We are wearing out the patience of God, and he's going to allow things to come, and it's going to be too late. God commanded Elijah to anoint the cruel and deceitful Hazael king over Syria, that he might be a scourge to the idolatrous Israel. And look at this. Who knows whether God will not give you up to what? To the deceptions that you love. Who knows? But that the preachers who are faithful, firm, and true may be the last who shall offer the gospel of peace to our unthankful churches. It may be that ere long all prophesyings among us will be at an end, and the voice which has stirred the people may no longer disturb their carnal slumbers. I want to remind you this in this previous page. Who knows whether God will not give you up to the deceptions that you love? Friends, you know that God has long patience for each and every one of us. It's a supernatural patience that's not of this world. But yet many of us, we get to this point where God finally decides, this is what you want, I will give it to you. Who knows whether we will get to the point of wearing out the patience of God? Who knows whether we get to that point where God just gives us up to the deceptions that we love? That we refuse to heed the voice of the preacher from the pulpit, from the words from the Bible, the voice that stirs people's hearts, asking them to repent and turn from their wicked ways. But we ask for silence just so that we don't get disturbed by them, just so that we can enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And we get to the point and arriving of what 2 Thessalonians talks about. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8 through 12. Then that wicked shall be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perished. Why? Because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe, what? A lie! That they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Friends, do you know at the end of time, many people will be deceived. Why? We'll be left to our own deceptions because we receive not the love of the truth. It's not really that God sent us deceptions that we'll be deceived and lost. No, it's because we did not love the truth. It's because we had pleasure in unrighteousness and not in the words of God. You see, friends, God works with our decisions. He honors what we ask for. And if we ask Him to leave us alone, guess what? He will leave us alone. When we keep pushing for things that we know are not right for us, it's not that God restrains us and He's like, I'm keeping you from being rich because I just don't want you to be rich. No, eventually He will give us what is not for our best good. He'll leave us to the delusions for which we chose and ran after. And friends, I want to ask you again this morning, what is it that you desire above everything else? I asked you that at the beginning of the sermon because, you see, God will grant it eventually. Men set their hearts on riches to their own hurt. What is the apple of your eye? You see, in Psalms 42, verse 1, I can tell you what should be the apple of our eye. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Friends, what is your heart's desire? What are you seeking after? What are you chasing after this morning? What are you putting all the energies of your mind and body into? What are we doing? Are we seeking after the water of life? Are we setting our heart on Christ? Because when we seek for that, guess what? He'll honor it. Yes, He will. In Jeremiah 29, verse 13, He says, if you seek me with all your heart, you'll find me. If you search for me with all your heart, you will find me. And if we will search for God, if we ask for that, He will honor that as well. Do you see that? He will. But what is our desire? What is the desires of our heart? In Zechariah chapter 10 and verse 1, the Bible says, ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. So the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to every one. Grass in the field. Friends, if we ask for the latter rain, if we ask for the Holy Spirit, if we ask for that blessing that God will pour out at the end of time, He says, I will give it to you. Yes. But in the case of Elijah, friends, how many times did Elijah have to pray before rain came? Do you remember? Do you know? 7 times, right? And yes, we read earlier, and we see it here too. God does not just give us up to our wicked devices just like that. You ask once, I'll give it to you. No, He's not like that. Remember, God said, they tempted me 10 times. 10 times they tempted me. The Israelites tempted God 10 times. Only then He said, all right, I'll let you die in the wilderness if that is what you want. They refused to believe. And so it is, if we want that which is good for us, we got to keep asking as well, and God will give it to us. He will. He will give us our heart's desires. He will. Luke 11:13, if you're evil and you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall our Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? Are you asking for the right things? Yes, be careful what you ask for. Are you asking for the Holy Spirit? Friends, are you asking for that which God has guaranteed that He wants to give you? Because if He's going to give us the things that we want because we ask so many times and our wicked heart desires it, He gives it eventually. He will give more, much more easily, the Holy Spirit. And the only reason why we have not received it is not because He doesn't want to give it, but it's because we've not been asking, right? Psalms 145:16, Thou openest thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. Friends, God loves to give. He's always given. All nature gives. We learned this in the first chapter of the Desire of Ages. I've been going through DA with DA. It's a wonderful blessing. God's a giver. And unfortunately, many of us, we just persist in our wickedness so much that He gives us that even which is not for our best good because we just want it so badly. But even with the good things, friends, God will give. Do you know that? He will. Psalms 37 verse 4, delight yourself also in the Lord. He shall give thee the desires of whose heart? Our heart. God wants to give us the desires of our hearts. But this is what you call sanctified choosing. Why? Because God wants us to delight in Him. Do you see that? You delight in the Lord, He will give you the desires of your heart. He wants to give you what you want. So this morning, are you desiring the Holy Spirit? Are you desiring righteousness? Are you desiring good things? Whatever we ask in His name, He will give it. And I just pray that God would help us to choose wisely today. Because God's a giver. And He gives to the desires and the intents and the hearts of men. I want to show you just a couple of quotes before we close here. Desire of Ages, 738, paragraph 5. The people of Israel had made their choice. Pointing to Jesus, they had said, not this man, but Barabbas. Barabbas, the robber and murderer, was the representative of Satan. Christ was the representative of God. Christ had been rejected. Barabbas had been chosen. Barabbas they were to have. In making this choice, they accepted him who from the beginning was a liar and a murderer. And that was not Barabbas. Satan was their leader. As a nation, they would act out his dictation. His works they would do. His rule they must endure. The people who chose Barabbas in the place of Christ were to feel the cruelty of Barabbas as long as time should last. Friends, I believe that this is still happening to many of us today. We're choosing the devil over Jesus. We're choosing the world over our eternal home in heaven. And we got to be careful. Because Galatians 6:7 says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that will he what? Also reap. And those people back then, they reaped the decisions that they made, the choices that they made. They reaped that in the results that would come after that. And I believe that that's still happening to many of us today. We are reaping what we sowed maybe just last year, maybe 5 years ago. Many of us, we reap what we sow. God gives us up to our delusions and our decisions. Yes, even though they might not be the best for us. Yes, God tells you not to get into unequally yoked relationship, and husbands and wives thereafter reap that result for many, many, many bitter years. Testimonies to Ministers 131, paragraph 2. Today, men are choosing Barabbas and saying, crucify Christ. They will do this in the person of his saints. They will go over the same ground as the Jewish priests and rulers did in their treatment of Christ. He, the Son of God, an innocent man, was murdered because he told men truths that it did not please them to hear. Friends, this is the reason why Jesus was murdered. He told them things that did not please their senses and their ears and their eyes. He told them straight truths that cut straight to their hearts. And even though Christ and Barabbas are historical figures today, 2,000 years ago they lived, the same story is still being played out, even in our present. Right here, right now, there are people that are choosing that murderer, Barabbas, over Jesus today. There are many people that are still choosing Satan over Christ. Why? Because we just want the pleasures of this world. We want what we want. And we've gotten tired of saying, hearing what Jesus says. Don't do this. Don't do that. It's not good for you. Don't. But friends, what are the desires of your heart today? What are the desires of your heart? Do you want more? What do you want more than anything else in this world? Is it money? If you go after it, you might get it. You might. Is it friends? If you chase after that, you just may get it. A relationship. Even though it might not be of God's choosing. Is it position that you're after, friends? And if you go after it, you just may get it. God gives us what we want ultimately. He doesn't control us. He doesn't. But friends, if you seek after Jesus, if you chase after Him, you will find it. If you seek His Word, you can understand it. You will definitely gain the spiritual blessings that come as a result. Today, I hope and I pray that all of us can learn to choose wisely, that we might have the wisdom of heaven to make the right choices, the choices that are in line with His Word, the choices that we know that God can bless and be with us. And if you're not sure, go seek some counselors. Seek after people that walk with Jesus. Let them tell you what the Bible says. Go to the Bible yourself. Go to the Spirit of Prophecy. You can find God's will. That ultimately we can say, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Not because I'm forced to, not because I feel like I have to do this in order to go to heaven, but because I love my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I know that this will also be the best for me on this earth. Friends, my prayer is today that God would help us to make wise choices. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, you know what is best for us. And maybe some of us this morning, we are swimming in ignorance. We don't know. And so, Father, just help us to pause. Pause from any major decisions that we have to make. Help us to pause that we might cast our eyes upon Jesus and ask, Lord, what is it that you want me to do? What can I do that might inherit eternal life? And when we hear that, the words and the instruction, Lord, give us courage to step forward in faith. Even though sometimes, in fact, no, many times and all the times, it goes against our human nature because we have sin dwelling in us, Lord. I pray that you would cleanse us from all that unrighteousness and give us the mind of Jesus, a mind of joy, a mind of love, a mind with the desire to do the will of God. Father, please, help us to make wise choices. Justify us, sanctify our lives, that we might know the path to walk today. Lord, more than anything else, we're in the last part of Earth's history. You're soon to come. We want to do all according to your will. May thy will be done, Lord, and not ours, is our earnest plea and prayer today. In Jesus' name we pray and ask. Amen.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.